This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, big takeaways from Thursday Night Football last night. My big takeaway having to do with the Texans is that the Texans played both these teams. If you missed it, Colts 12, Broncos 9 in overtime. And you may be going, oh, did the Colts score 2 touchdowns to get their 12 points? Did the Broncos score a touchdown, miss an extra point, and kick a field? No, it was all field goals. It was terrible. But there were interesting storylines coming out of this game, a few of them last night. I would say my biggest takeaway as far as the Texans go is that it's not that I have any delusions of grandeur about the Texans and where they're going this year, but the fact that they are a Rodrigo Blankenship missed chip shot field goal away from being 0-2 against those two teams last night is fairly sobering, I would say. Like, wow, these two teams are terrible. Oh, I feel like the Texans have played both these teams this year. Let me look. Oh, yeah, they weeks 1 yeah. and 2 they did, and they should be 0-2 against both these teams right
but
now.
But then it also might mean that they're that close to at least in this year where it seems like every team is 2-2 and awful, the Texans might actually be closer to middle of the pack than we realize, Sean.
Or,
those two awful teams last night were a representation of the status quo in the NFL, my friend.
That's true, actually. Like, that is a perfect representation of what the NFL's been in 2022 so far. A couple of teams, the Broncos walk out of that game 2-3. The Colts walk out 2-2-1. You got old quarterback. Like, those aren't the only two older quarterbacks who aren't playing well this year. Like, it's an embodiment of everything right now.
If you look at, like, DVOA, which is kind of, so it's just, it's team efficiency. Yeah. It tries to account for strength of schedule and everything. It takes a while for everything to balance out because you get more points for beating good teams, but you don't really know who the good teams are.
Yep.
But for whatever it's worth, headed into last night, Denver was the 15th best team according to DVOA. So that awful 2-3 football team is, and I think that matches the eyeball test. A lot of the mediocre teams this year are not playing what you would call, like, average football. It just, I mean, just on the DVOA, if you go from, like, New England, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, the Giants, the Raiders, it's all kind of sloppy, ugly football.
Yep. And, well, again, I guess, look, if you're somebody who's hoping the Texans get the first pick in the draft, maybe you're enthusiastic that they basically lost to the two teams that played in that game last night. So that's number one. The next takeaway for me is that Bronco fans have to be terrified. I would rather have Davis Mills right now than Russell Wilson. And that's not to say that Davis Mills is a better player than Russell Wilson. What it is to say is that I would rather have my future at the quarterback position, Seth, be kind of an open book. I mean, you can put Davis Mills out with the recyclables anytime you want to this year and move on and draft a quarterback next year. Denver is in a really bad spot. They gave Russell Wilson $165 million guaranteed. Guaranteed. So he is their quarterback, unless they want to take just a gargantuan cap hit. He's their quarterback for at least the next 3 years. And who knows? Maybe this is just a bad spell. Maybe he and Nathaniel Hackett, the head coach, are having trouble getting on the same page. That looks like a dude who is a fraction of what he used to be, and he's making terrible decisions in these games. And I think most importantly is that I don't know that his teammates believe in him. Here was Russell Wilson after the game trying to – this was 40 seconds out of a 3-minute sales pitch he did at the end of his press conference that was very Russell Wilson of him. Take a listen.
I'm grateful just to be out there tonight and battle. you know, throughout the week and stuff like that, and to be out there and be able to play tonight. And just, unfortunately, like I said, I didn't come up with the way I know how to, you know, tonight. We felt like we could have. And like I said, I let us down. But, you know, I know I'm a winner. I know that I'm a battler. I know that I'm going to keep going and keep believing. There's so much season left, like I said. There's so much opportunity left. And I believe in these guys every day, and I know they believe in me too. We believe in each other. You know, and so yeah, I'm looking forward to turning it around. I'm looking forward to turning it around because when we do, it's going to be a special story.
You brought up a great point earlier, Seth, that this dude does not have the pelts on the wall in Denver to be able to just sit there and blanket say, I believe in them and they believe in me and this and that. It's easy to do that in Seattle where he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
You're on, you've got to prove yourself all over again. If Tom Brady had gone to Tampa and played the way Russell Wilson is playing right now, they would not have cared a single bit. Like, not one single bit about this old man coming down here and talking about the glory days of the previous five Super Bowls you'd won. They'd be like, get this guy out of here. He sucks. I need to get the, it's just like guys in the NFL didn't care about, it was cool that Tim Tebow had won a Heisman and done all that other stuff. But if he can't get you the ball, he can't get you the ball.
Yep.
So, it's ugly. In 2024, they could cut Russell Wilson and take a net loss of $50 million against the cap. It would be $85 million in dead money. But the net loss would be $49 million against the cap. So that's, they could get out of it for $50 million net loss, $80 million in actual debt.
After
money.
When? 2024?
If they try, I would guess that would be before the 2024
season. Okay, got you. Yeah, wow. That's brutal. But that's where we are, five games into the Russell Wilson.
That'd be pre-June 1st.
Okay. June 1st.
If they did it after June 1st,
yeah, you can split up
2021.
Split up the hit.
They would, yeah. Well, then they would take because they'd split it out over 2 years.
Yeah,
it'd be a $0 net loss that year. I don't know. That's according to Over the Cap. So it's going to be painful. Whatever happens, it's going to be really, really painful.
Yeah. Either you got to watch Russell Wilson for a few more years if you're in Denver, or you got to take a massive cap hit to get rid of him. Steve Smith had some thoughts on Russell Wilson after the game. James Palmer of the NFL Network caught up with KJ Hamler, the wide receiver, one of the wide receivers who's on the field on that fourth down play that wound up being the final play in overtime, an incomplete pass in the end zone. And KJ Hamler told James Palmer of the NFL Network, quote, I could have walked in. He also, in meaning if he caught the ball, he would have walked into the end zone. He also told Palmer, Hamler did, that he wasn't the only Broncos receiver who was open. Oh, I can't wait to see the All-22 on this. Wasn't the only Broncos receiver who was open on the play, and he has no answer for why the Broncos keep missing golden opportunities in the red zone. Boy, that is a storyline. That team is a bad. We saw it with the Texans. They are a bad, bad red zone team. The Texans held them every time to field goals when they were down in the red zone. Here was Steve Smith, former wide receiver, after the game, breaking down what KJ Hamler had and breaking down the last play of that game and what KJ Hamler had to say about it.
Now, KJ Hamler probably shouldn't say it to our guy, James Palmer, what really went down, but that's what you do.
He's frustrated.
He could have walked in. They're not going to improve throughout the season because this isn't a play by Daniel Hackett not calling it. It is a lack of good execution by your top tier quarterback. And when your top-tier quarterback cannot deliver the goods, guess what? Closed mouths don't get fed. That's why
don't
this team
like
is
that, Steve.
That's
don't
why this team
like
is hungry.
So that was Steve Smith of the NFL Network on that last play.
So nobody's getting fed.
Yeah,
nobody's getting fed. So the mouths have to be open, like as he called him, Ken Hamlin, the safety who lives in Houston.
Yes,
but he was talking about KJ Hamler. He's a Steve Smith and I we're kindred souls, I think, in the way we butcher names. So
yes,
I think he's such a good analyst.
Much to Ken Hamlin's surprise, he actually does play wide receiver for the Broncos in addition to being a retired NFL safety. Yes.
You see, the thing is that guys like Steve and I, we're just operating at a higher level, Sean, you know, mentally. We're thinking about such abstract concepts and what have you that we can't be bothered by the mundanities of names and pronunciations and
right.
whatnot.
Yes, yeah. Yes, small little details like that. The other thing that happened in this game happened early in the game. Actually, this was sort of a theme throughout the game. Nyheim Hines, the running back for the Colts, went down early in the game with a concussion. It was a rough scene. It was very similar to Tua Tagovailoa's first concussion, where Hines got up and was staggering. He had to be held up by teammates just to get to the sidelines. It was a pretty frightening scene with Nyheim Hines last night. Russell Wilson got examined at one point for a concussion when he was, after one of his interceptions, he was running down and got blocked by somebody to the ground. It looked like he might have gotten hit in the head. They pulled I forget which cornerback it was for the Broncos. He got pulled off the field right before a play. They had to stop a play near the end of the game because the people observing players who got hit in the head said, go get that guy. And so they pulled him off the field, and he's like, man, I'm fine. What are you doing? I forget which guy it was, number 42. They pulled him off the field. He wound up back in the game. But I think it's indicative, Seth, that this is, at least in the wake of the Tua incidents, multiple incidents, and misdiagnosis of the first concussion, this will be an interesting Sunday to watch football, to see how vigilant the NFL is with stuff like this. If last night is any indication, they have upped the degree of seriousness with which they're taking this stuff.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, this is... I think if in anything, the Tua Tagovailoa situation, I think the notable thing about it was that it was so notable. That for the most part, guys are in the concussion protocol all the time, and we just really don't think about it much. I think right now we're a little bit heightened in our awareness of it, and we're tuned in to every little thing. And because, Sean, I've told you before, I don't know what the stats are, but as a player, I could barely remember an offensive lineman actually being in the concussion, have diagnosed with a concussion. Like they were getting them, obviously. Mm-hmm. They just weren't diagnosed. Where now, at any given time, it seems like you've got at least one offensive lineman in the concussion protocol. At least the Texans did that for a couple years there. So I think that for the most part, it's worked pretty well, but there's obviously a few, it's too easy for some guys to slide through and be misdiagnosed or mistreated. So they gotta fix that. Will they be hypervigilant? Yeah, maybe. But I feel like they've been pretty vigilant. Like, there's guys in the concussion protocol all the time.
No. That there is a concussion protocol indicates some degree of vigilance inherently against the concussions. I get that. And I'm with you. I think I have no basis to know, hey, are they doing a good job? Or are they doing a bad job? I've never been on a football field and concussed before. You've got a much better perspective as a former player than I do on that. I was curious last night after the Hines concussion, Nyheim Hines, if Jeff Darlington of ESPN.com was going to put out a similar tweet like he did when Tua Tagovailoa got concussed on Thursday Night Football last week, where right after that concussion took place, Jeff Darlington said, I love football, but I hate nothing more in football than this. I hate the questions from last week. I hate watching the injuries. I hate that they are about to resume this game. This was in the middle of the second quarter of the Dolphins game last Thursday night. And I'm reading this. I'm like, you hate that they're going to start the game.
Like, you're having some kind of crisis of conscience about whether you should. Like, honestly, like it's one of those little either hypocrisies or inconsistencies that we all have to live with that you just have to kind of resign yourself to, Jeff Darlington. But this is your job. Like, your chosen job is to be an NFL reporter. So you don't genuinely hate that they're about to resume the
Stop
game.
It.
You
yes.
just don't.
Stop it.
Unless you're a complete fraud and you go to work every day with your head in your hands like, I can't believe I'm propagating this crime against America and humanity. Oh, but here we go. Hey, I'm in Miami.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, forget. Okay. Yeah, like. You're absolutely right. Like, dude, you're an NFL reporter, presumably making a pretty good wage. I think ESPN pays their national reporters pretty well. You have 300,000 Twitter followers or 279,000, whatever it is. You've built a pretty big audience on the back of this sport where this head trauma seems to traumatize you so much. And then on top of that, dude, just logistically, like, honestly, even if you're not Jeff Darlington, if you're somebody who says, I hate that they're about to resume this game, are you serious that you really want the NFL, when a guy gets concussed and stretchered off the field, they're supposed to stop the game and send everybody home? Like, what are you talking? Like, stop it. You're stupid.
This is what happens, and it seems like it's getting worse and worse, is that when there are serious topics that come up in sports, there will be all these columns written that are like, why does sports media have such a hard time talking about the serious topics? And I'm like, you're asking how come the people like me who have chosen to talk about sports for a living are having a hard time talking about the serious topics? You moron.
Yeah.
It's because I chose a profession where I talk about a bouncing ball and men in tights. Do you think I'm going to be really good at breaking down the serious life topics? Of course not.
Yeah. Well,
here's my coloring book.
And people, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Let's go play some Candyland. People don't come to the store for that. That's just the bottom line. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. It is a Football Friday. There was an incident with an NBA team that we've not talked about yet that I feel needs to be discussed. A very unpopular NBA player may have increased the popularity of a fellow teammate through a fight they had on Wednesday in the NBA. So we'll get into the NBA fight. We'll break down the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Texans. We'll give you some keys to the game on Sunday to watch for as well before we get out of here and talk to the guys on In the Loop. That is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the NBA, the big story this week was, well, really two. Victor Wembanyama is going to cause every general manager who's got a non-playoff team to tank the season. Adrian Wojnarowski said it's a race for the bottom in the NBA this year because this is the most transcendent prospect. Victor Wembanyama, who plays in France, most transcendent prospect since LeBron James. That's been a big story. The other big story involving actual NBA players who are in the league right now, Draymond Green versus Jordan Poole. Two Golden State Warriors players, prominent players. Obviously, Draymond, part of several championship teams. Poole, part of the most recent Warriors championship team. Poole, an ascending player who is going to help the Warriors keep this championship window open. He's 23. He's up for a contract extension. Draymond, a descending player that most people outside of the Bay Area hate with a white-hot passion of a thousand suns. Because he's Draymond Green. And he also, like Jordan Poole, is up for a contract extension. And in all likelihood, going to make a whole lot less money than he is making right now. He makes $25 million a year. I'm not sure if you heard. If you haven't heard, it means you've not seen a Draymond Green press conference because he likes to bring it up and throw it in people's faces quite a bit about how much money that he makes.
Oh, that's right. He does.
Remember
yeah.
that? Yeah.
That's always the argument where it feels like you're winning, but you're not just because, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they got into a fight at practice, and I guess the story goes that these two they frequently go at each other in practice. But
were they saying like, okay, it's not that big of a deal, or because they frequently go after each other, or it is kind of a big deal?
I think it's just I'm just reading a report, and they just said that these two've had issues in practice before. This is a big deal because Draymond swung on him. Like they get under each other's skin, but this was a big deal. Like Draymond, whatever it was Jordan Poole said or did. And there's also reports saying that this is really, people are kind of siding with Draymond on this, that Jordan Poole was chirping a little bit. But Draymond swung on him, and Draymond may face some discipline for this. The two sides seem to have cooled off since then, but it was a huge story yesterday as far as NBA stories go. You and I got a tweet yesterday, Seth, sent to us that several people
saw.
Well,
you sent it to me.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. So my son sent it to me. And I sent it to you, and it looks like optics of it, just the font and the fact that the Athletic is copied on it. This would be something that might rope some people in. So let's just read it here and see if the audience thinks this sounds like a real report as to why the fight started between the two. According to, and by the way, the tweet says, wow, this is from a guy named Jaron Ferry Folk. He says, wow, great reporting from at The Athletic on the Warriors situation. So The Athletic is tagged in the tweet. And it's a screen grab of what looks like an article from The Athletic. It's in The Athletic font. It says, according to sources, Poole began telling teammates of his plan to use his lucrative new contract extension to install a pool at his house. Quote, I'll call it the Jordan Pool because it's going to be the GOAT. Poole allegedly said, everyone can come swim in my Jordan pool as soon as I get paid. Teammates soon tired of the joke, however, when he refused to stop telling it. When Green eventually suggested to Poole, quote, find some new material, Poole said, if you keep talking like that, you won't be allowed in my Jordan pool, end quote. This statement then prompted Green to close his eyes and start swinging, witnesses say. Right, how real does that sound?
Okay. How real do you want me to get with this discussion, Sean? I feel like you got roped in by this.
I did yesterday a little bit. I mean,
I did.
Let me be clear. I'm not reporting this as what happened right now.
I know. But you texted it to me. Yep. I tend to be cynical about things. I tend to be skeptical. I should say skeptical, not cynical.
Yeah, yeah.
I tend to be skeptical.
Are you about
things.
To pull out you our text exchange? Okay. Yeah.
I read it. You sent it to me. You said, OMG, we can do an hour on this.
Yeah.
And I read it and I said, holy bleep, that sounds like it's from The Onion. Kids, The Onion used to be the only publication that would really do fake stories all the time.
Yeah,
now there's 400,000.
Yeah.
And then you basically said, like, you know somebody that would – you were kind of fixated on how stupid the joke was, the Jordan Poole joke.
Yes, yes.
And then you said, that has to be fake.
Yeah.
So you didn't – you just saw that, sent it to me. And it is a good fake because there's something about the guy faked the font of The Athletic – and like the article style, and then he tagged them in on it. So it does trick your mind a little bit. Like it leads you down to a couple paths where the first time you read it, you're like, wait a second. And so much stupid stuff happens these days that sometimes you feel like, oh wow, sounds like it's stupid enough to actually be true. But I feel in reading the comments, this is what I get nervous about. People really, I would say the majority of people responding genuinely believed that story.
Yeah. Yeah. My MO is nowadays is to read it, look at it, you know, it's funny. Okay. And now, I want to bring this up on the show with Seth and I want to talk about it. Let me go find the actual article from The Athletic that has this quote in it so I can put a link to it, not this tweet. So, as you can imagine, I was unsuccessful in finding this particular article that included Jordan Poole being annoying, repeating dead horse joke guy.
I thought at first it might be that annoying writer from The Athletic who wrote that story. It was satire, but it was so unfunny that you didn't realize it was satire.
It was horrible.
Because remember, we played it on air, and it was a guy. He said he was going to sit at the Starbucks at the combine and report on what he saw throughout the day. And it was just kind of some stuff that sounded like it could be true. And then they said that Nick Caserio got there and they told some weird, he told some weird story about how Caserio ordered a coffee, decided he didn't like the taste, sent it back, ordered another coffee, decided he liked that taste. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And then it dawned on us, a couple of our listeners caught onto it. They're like, oh, he's joking. He's saying that, because they fired David Culley after a year and then hired Lovie Smith. I'm like, okay, I guess I get it, except you're telling me that the joke is that he hired one black coach, got rid of him, and hired another black coach, and that they must all be the same? Like, and this guy from The Athletic still has a job?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? So that's why it got me, because I thought it might just be that writer writing another stupid story.
Trying to be funny.
Yeah, this one's actually funny, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if Jordan Poole were saying that to Draymond Green. Draymond, it's interesting. You know, Draymond is at that stage in his career where Draymond strikes me as a guy, Seth, call me crazy. Call me crazy that the guy who constantly brings up how much money he makes in press conferences might feel a little insecure about what his future with the team is right now. Like that there might be a little bit of jealousy knowing Jordan Poole is probably about to get, he's going to be the next Warrior to get 25 to 30 million a year. And Draymond will probably be, you know, he's probably at that stage where if he wants to be a Warrior, he's going to have to keep doing the 1 year deal thing in all likelihood.
I think that, I think that you could predict 20 years ago that Draymond Green wasn't going to age gracefully in the NBA. I think, you know, when he was 13 years old, you would have said like, hey, if this kid ever makes the NBA and is like the fifth best player on a championship team, but, you know, people feed his head with all kinds of stuff about how he's the heart and soul. Do you think he'll age gracefully? And people said, oh, God, no.
No.
Oh, God, no. I would actually hire extra security guards to follow him around maybe in the last year he was on the team. Then, yeah, I don't think it's going to end well for Draymond Green and the Golden State Warriors.
No,
it'll be unfortunate because I feel like he'll refuse to come back for reunions for like a good 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, we'd be busy with his podcast, his very successful podcast. A lot of people weighing in on the Thursday night game last night on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. 713-8885 says, Broncos and Colts need to go on wife swap and trade quarterbacks. Broncos need a better game manager / leader for the young playmakers. Colts need a quarterback that will run the playbook for their badass playmakers. Okay, that's interesting. What if the Broncos had gotten Matt Ryan and the Colts had gotten Russell Wilson? Here's the thing I would say, Texter. These two just might not be good quarterbacks anymore.
Like, yeah,
it may not be where you can categorize them as, well, he's better for this team, especially Matt Ryan. Dude.
Yeah, and, well, I think with the Broncos, if you have to think about the very last play of the game where they could have won it, that wasn't an issue with the play call. People are criticizing the play call. There were wide open receivers.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this is just some internet scout thing where you say, hey, look, here's an open receiver, but that guy wasn't part of the progression or something. Like, no, he had options on that play, and he just screwed it up. So, which is typical of a lot of the other stuff he's been doing. You can't blame that on Nathaniel Hackett. This is on Russell Wilson just not being a good quarterback. I think what you can tell is that, well, you know what? Pete Carroll probably deserves some credit for muddling through the last few years. John Schneider, the GM up in Seattle, had reportedly wanted to get rid of Russell Wilson a while back, and Carroll just kept, you know, figured they'd try to make it work. But it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah, dude, they're showing right now on SportsCenter, they're showing it, Seth, as we're talking right now, they're showing a behind the quarterback view of the play, of the final play. I mean, KJ Hamler is wide open on a slant route right over the middle of the end zone. Like, wide open. And so I could see why KJ Hamler, who, if you watch the game, he was the player that was taking his helmet and slamming it down on the ground repeatedly after that play.
Yeah, and Steve Smith, when he broke the play down, you know, just said as much that it was just easy and obvious to know where he should have gone with the ball. And the guys don't like Russell Wilson's personality now that he's out and in a new environment, and especially because he's not playing well. I almost feel bad for him because it's not like he's a bad dude. He just tries so hard, you know, like he just tries so hard that it becomes more and more evident, and it's harder to watch. It's like watching somebody have an embarrassing moment without them. You know what it is, Sean? It's like watching somebody walk through the office with toilet paper trailing off of their foot, or no, even worse, toilet paper off of the top, out of their waistband.
Their belt,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, where, you know, at least the other end of that is stuck there with poop. Mm. That's what Russell Wilson's doing because he doesn't even know or realize that everybody's laughing about the toilet paper trailing from his waistband.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Make sure you're listening to Sports Radio 610 on a Reaction Monday because that's where you're going to get your poop references. Starting with Payne and Pendergast at 6 a.m., we're going to break down everything that happened in the Sunday game in Jacksonville. Hear from the players and coaches. Assess the situation as we head into the bye week. It is bye week next week. A Reaction Monday brought to you by Churrasco's Steak and Seafood. So let's do that. Before Seth and I get out of here, we'll get on the record. What do we think is going to happen on Sunday? What are the couple of keys to the Jags and the Texans? And we'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop today. That is next.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, I'm looking at it right now, and the Jags are up to a 7-point favorite over the Houston Texans.
Oh, the disrespect.
Yes.
If it goes to 8, I will flip my lid.
It goes to 8.
Almost said a bad word.
I know. That's how serious your passion is about the disrespect the Texans are getting right now.
The disrespect they're showing this team
mm-hmm.
that hasn't lost all their football games, mind you, Sean.
No.
A lot of people say, hey, they haven't won a game. And I'll say, yes, but they have not lost all of
them.
Semi-win.
Yeah.
That's right. Three losses and a
semi-win.
That's right.
Against the Indianapolis Colts. What was it again, Mike?
Semi-win.
Thank you.
A semi-win.
I love that.
God. That might be one of the most brilliant little bits of sports commentary that's ever been uttered. But because it was about a tie in the 2022 Texans season, it will be lost off into the ether someday when we update our databases.
Right, exactly. And from, of all people, like one of the guys who, if you had asked me to handicap what Michael Irvin's reaction was going to be to what Lovie Smith did, it would have been the total opposite of that. That, for those who don't know, that cut is from a Michael Irvin rant from a few weeks ago about Lovie Smith choosing to punt in overtime and take a tie instead of going for the win. Instead, he walked away with
semi-win,
according to the playmaker. So
he almost had me convinced, though, too.
Yeah,
because it was because of everything you just said. I was like, oh, that's Michael Irvin,
yeah,
like the ultimate competitor. There's a widely pointed to as like the locker room guy that helped drive people towards those Super Bowls. If it's okay with him, hey, it's okay with me.
I'm very susceptible when people passionately scream their arguments at me.
Yeah.
That I will believe them. I'm more likely to believe. I'm like, you know what? He does make a really good point very loudly right now.
Were you a sucker for your kids and their adamant denials growing up?
Because
I am.
Yeah, probably. Because you always want to assume the best with your kids. Like, yeah, you're right. You probably wouldn't do that.
I'm pretty sure. I'd really like to believe you're not a sociopath.
Because you're amazing.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Because kids, let's face it, they're sociopaths.
Yeah.
They will lie to your face. Yeah. And that's your job, is to teach them how not to be sociopaths.
Hey, real quick, before we get to John and Landry and talk about what's going on In the Loop today, I mentioned Texans plus 7. What do you think happens this weekend on Sunday?
I think that the Texans, with an emphasis on good old-fashioned ball security on offense and stripping the ball away on defense, end up winning a game because they're due, honestly, to win a game based on almost nothing but turnover margin. I think that Trevor Lawrence has shown a propensity to both fumble and throw away the football, and I think that ends up being the difference this week. So I'm going to say Texans 18, Jaguars 15.
18.
Very weird score.
No less weird than 12-9 last night. So
yes.
Let's roll that. I think the Jags win this game. I just can't trust the Texans offensively right now. I think I have 27-19 in my prediction.
That's not as weird a score as mine. I win.
No, but the 19 comes from basically, I think they're going to score a touchdown. I think they're going to move the football a little bit, but probably bog down and kick a whole bunch of field goals in this game, the Texans. So I have 27-19. That said, though, man, I got to go look and see the last time the Jags were a 7-point favorite in a game. That's a weird, there's something to be said about
that's a
team
good point.
Being favored by that many points that hasn't been favored in forever.
Wasn't it opening game last year? Were they a 7-point favorite?
No, not
the Texans?
No, they were like a 3-point favorite against the Texans here in NRG. Now, they may have been, I think they were favored again maybe later in the season in mm-hmm. Jacksonville, but I mean, there's a touchdown favorite is a big favorite in the NFL.
Oh,
a big,
for
big
sure.
favorite. Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good. I have a question for Seth.
Okay.
Because Seth is obviously a Houstonian, proud, loud, Texans legend, all that good stuff. What are your feelings toward Jacksonville right now, having played there? And do they use you as for any of their events?
Well, I get invited to all this stuff, but it feels weird because I spend all my time talking about the Texans and everything.
Yeah.
So I get invited back to reunions and things, but it's during football season usually also. So, I have fond memories of there, but it's not like this is why I always tell guys, if you have the choice and it's an apples to apples, or, you know, if you have a decision in free agency, don't go play within your same division because it's a pain in the ass. But I consider myself, If I were to be inducted into
the Ring
a very
of Honor,
tepid Hall of Fame of some sort,
yes.
Yeah, I would go in as a Texan. So
that's what I figured.
That's where I draw the line.
But you played at Jacksonville just as long.
Well, and I played on better teams in Jacksonville.
Right, right.
You know, we were, like, early on, we were very, very good teams. But I just felt like in Houston, it was, I felt like I got more of, like, the NFL experience in Houston. And I felt because we were here at the beginning, I feel like a certain ownership in the team that I didn't feel in Jacksonville. Just by being there, like, at the very beginning and being more of a veteran player on that team. That's why I feel more like a Houston Texan.
Well, we're glad you picked us.
Yes. Who's considered the greatest Jag in history? Is it Tony Boselli and nobody else is in the conversation? Probably, right? I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. They got nobody
else. I mean, Brunell probably doesn't get as much credit as he should.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a different era, too. You know what Brunell was he was a top-tier quarterback for a while, but it was in an era as the stats were changing. So I think probably when you look at Brunell's stats, they're not going to look as impressive as a lot of the guys that he was playing with would keep playing for a lot longer and just stack up a boatload.
I would have thought.
So Brunell probably is up there.
Mojo.
Oh, Fred Taylor. I mean, Fred Taylor.
I thought
Fred
Mojo. Taylor, I was going to say Maurice Jones-Drew.
Mojo?
Yeah.
Maurice Jones-Drew didn't end up having nearly as long and productive a career as Fred.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I'd have to look at their actual stats with the Jaguars.
Yeah. So did you guys stay up and watch that game last
night?
God
almighty.
Yeah, that was some good stuff, huh?
I really appreciate you reminding me of that.
Yes, yes. Battle of the field goals, baby. My Texans related takeaway is holy crap, they basically lost to both of those teams last night.
It actually gave me an idea for something that I'd like to talk about today on the show, actually.
Okay.
I think clearly the Texans for the next 4 years are in a better quarterbacking position than either of those teams.
Because they have an open, they have a blank palette.
Because we know Davis Mills ain't going to be it.
Yep.
You might be number one overall. You might have your pick of any quarterback you want, as opposed to the albatross of a contract that you're getting from in Denver and the horrible play. Then you might even get a new regime in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I came up with a dozen teams that the Texans are in a better position than for the next four years at the quarterback position.
I'll be anxious to hear who they are, and I think it's funny because we know what the goal is. The goal is to have Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers even or whatever. And, you know, and within those elite quarterbacks, there's ones that are better to have than others. The younger, the better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is funny, the ones that have undesirable quarterback situations. The Texans have an undesirable quarterback situation.
But they're in the best position to fix it,
right? Right, but just in terms of like power ranking the undesirable situations, this is the best one to be in because you can get well faster.
Yeah.
I think it's a struggle between quarterback purgatory, which is you got a quarterback who's in his prime. Like Kirk Cousins is quarterback purgatory.
Yes.
He's in his prime. He's middle of the pack. He's good enough to make your team middle of the pack, but just tease you enough to think that we could get there with him. Mm-hmm. And the worst one might be what Denver's in right now.
Yes. Like,
holy crap. Yeah. We just gave this guy $245 million, and he's washed. And we don't have any – we have no history with him where we can point to it. Like, if Seattle gave Russell Wilson this contract, you could at least rationalize it and go, we got a Super Bowl out of it at least. I mean, this sucks that we're paying this guy. But Denver, my God. Wow.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes.
In Seattle.
Yes. Landry, you're awfully quiet right now.
My thought was they should have traded for Deshaun. They being the Broncos. They were rumored to be in immediately. They should have traded for Deshaun Watson. If any team should have, it's them.
That's a pretty tricky one with a new ownership.
Yeah.
I wonder if...
No doubt. That would be a hell of a thing to inherit as owner. So, yeah, that would be a hell of a thing. But, yeah, on hindsight, yeah, I would.
In hindsight, yeah, like would you rather, if you're the Broncos' new owners, would you rather be weathering the Deshaun Watson storm right now, knowing that you've got a quarterback who's in his prime? You know, we haven't seen him in 2 years,
no.
But whatever. Or this Russell Wilson thing, which it really has a chance to bring them down right
that
now.
That Deshaun Watson all day, right?
I think it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, Seth's counterpoint that, you know, that's a tough matzo ball to bring into the whole situation.
That is.
So what else is going on the show today, boys?
We got a lot. We're going to take a trip to Duval, talk to our buddy Tony Wiggins. Jags are the favorites in the AFC South. There's some connections with the young guys on both teams that we might not be paying enough attention to. And we are momentarily going to be amidst one of the best three-day stretches in sports this year, but it should have never happened. I got to give Rob Manfred some flowers, but I also kind of got to criticize him at the same time.
Okay. Mm. Well, criticism for Rob Manfred. All right.
But yeah. I think he's done a good job.
Yeah. Well, I'm psyched for baseball today. I'll just say that.
Yeah, all day long.
Looking forward to all-day baseball. All right. We are done. We are out of time. In the Loop is up next. It is a Football Friday. It's popping here on Sports Radio 610, so keep it tuned here all day long. Get out to Churrasco's in Sugarland today to go see Clint Sterner in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yes. Yes.
Have a Pisco Sour.
Yeah. Pisco Sour.
I'm trying to get them to name it after me. Problem is it's a Peruvian drink, and I have no Peruvian ancestry.
A little Ancestry.com. You might have a little Peruvian in you. You never know.
Okay.
Those things come back with all kinds of numbers on them. All right, Seth, antibodies to you. I'll see you 9 a.m. on Sunday for Texans Countdown.
Antibodies and an early prediction of the Texans draft a tight end from Iowa in the fourth round in 2023.
Okay. Mark that audio. Thank you.
That's weird, Seth.
Appreciate it.
We'll discuss on Monday.
Okay.
Vertical tease.
There's a tease. Yeah. We're done. We're out of time. We'll see you on Sunday, 9 a.m. for Texans Countdown. Back here on Monday for Payne and Pendergast at 6 a.m. for Reaction Monday. Until then, have a great day, everybody.
I apologize to Lisa Ann. It's one of the reasons I could never get into her line of acting either, because I was afraid that everything would get too real. I'm like, no, you're my stepmother. Never.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.